Welcome to an exposition of the Gospel of John with Rev I.T. Matura. Get ready to be empowered and transformed by the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Welcome to the exposition of the Gospel of John. What a blessed time we've been having in the Word of God. And we continue today looking at Lesson 7, covering Chapter 6, which I've titled Ministering to the Multitudes and the Disciples. I'll do an overview of chapter number 6 from verse 1 to 59. Then we'll look at the key scripture or key revelation, which is chapter 6 verse 35. Then I'll look in the end at 5 lessons that we get from this chapter. And I believe there will be a blessing unto you. So get your Bible. Get your notebook. Let's get into the Word of God. We continue into Lesson 7, picking up from where we left in Lesson 6, where we looked at Jesus performing his third miracle recorded in the Gospel of John, where he heals the man at Bethsaida. And what a miracle it was. This man had been there 38 years, a long time, and Jesus comes and heals him by divine instruction. It causes the leaders and the Pharisees to get angry and begin to question Jesus. But Jesus begins to declare his testimony that the works that he does are the works of the Father, and they testify that he is the Son of God. This was in Judea. He leaves Judea now and is back in Galilee in chapter number 6. And he goes over to the Sea of Galilee, by which is also the Sea of Tiberias. A great multitude follows him because they saw his miracles, which he did, and how those that were sick were healed. So the miracles began to attract crowds, and many gathered around him. Jesus had to go up a mountain. There he sat with his disciples, and the Passover feast was close by, and when Jesus lifted his eyes, he saw the great multitude. And then he says in verse 5 to Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And he said to prove him, for he himself knew what to do. So he was testing out Philip. He looks at the multitude. Jesus had compassion on the multitude. They had gathered, and he saw that they were now hungry. And he asked Philip, "What can we get for them to eat?" And he said this not because he didn't know what to do. He knew, but he wanted to test Philip, his disciple. And Philip in verse 7 answered, 200 penny worth of bread, that's almost 200 days of wages, is not sufficient for them, that everyone might take a little bite. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, "There is a little lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" So Philip says, the money that you are, even 200 pennies, denaries, 200 worth of wages, 200 days of wages will not be enough for someone just to get one bite because of the multitude. Then Andrew says, "There's a boy here with some small food or few fish, 2 of them and 2 loaves of barley." This he presents to Jesus as an option. And then Jesus says in verse number 10, Jesus said, "Make them, the men sit down." Now there was much grass in that place, so the men sit down, and there were about 5,000 of them. In verse 11, Jesus takes the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples, and the disciples to them that sat down, likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Now, this is where the miracle of multiplication manifests. We see here Jesus ministering to multitudes. Jesus could minister at an individual level. We see him talking to the Samaritan woman and ministering to her one-to-one. He speaks to Nicodemus one-to-one. But here now we see him ministering to a lot of people. He is given the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish. and he gives thanks. I want you to see that the miracle was in that giving thanks. He did not complain about how small it was. He was there to give gratitude to God. And after the men had sat down, he had asked the disciples to put order. You see that many times the miracle of God is preceded by order. If you go into the book of 1 Kings, when the woman comes to Elisha and says, "My husband has been taken and has died and they want to take my sons because of the debt that he owed," Elisha says, "Go and borrow vessels, and then take the vessels in the house, and then take the jar of oil." So she had to get structure first, vessels, and order. And after that, the miracle would take place. Jesus says to the disciples, "Let the men sit down." After they sit down, he gave thanks. And after he gave thanks, he gave the loaves and the fish to the disciples. And the disciples began to distribute to the men and the women and the children. I want you to see that the miracle was not in that when Jesus prayed, the bread multiplied in his hands. No, the bread multiplied as the disciples were serving. So as they were giving it out, the bread did not run out. They continued to give. They continued to give. Like the woman with the jar of oil, the Bible says she continued to pour until there was no empty vessel left. So you see that the multiplication of bread and fish continued until there was no one to give bread. So there was release of a miracle according to the capacity of the multitude that needed to be fed. Oh, hallelujah. Praise be to God. And we see that in verse 1 to verse 15, the story of that miracle of multiplication. And when they had eaten, the Bible says the disciples collected 12 baskets of leftovers. And you see that Jesus was not wasteful. He was very frugal. He did not say there was so much, so you can just throw that away. He says, God has provided. We have to manage what we have been given. Many times when God supplies to us, we are wasteful of that which God has given us. And it causes us not to receive more from God. Jesus says, that which was left, the fragments, collect them. Make sure they are preserved. Oh, hallelujah. Then from verse 16 to 21, after this miracle, the people, the multitude was so impressed. And they say, Jesus is truly a prophet. And amongst themselves, they began to speak and say, let's make this man a king. Now I can imagine, I'm just thinking to myself, they began to say, hey, if this man who can multiply bread becomes our king, we'll never go hungry again. When we want bread, we'll just go to our king and you multiply bread and we'll be sorted forever. So they say, guys, this is an opportunity. Let's make him our king. And Jesus had to find a way to depart and to run away from them and from them. And he went up the mountain. That's from verse 16 now. He went up the mountain. He leaves his disciples and goes up the mountain. The disciples go to the sea. They enter the ship that was going towards Capernaum. And in there, the wind and the storm arose. And Jesus came walking on the water at midnight. Here it doesn't give the time, but in other gospels it says at midnight. So he was on the mountain praying and talking to God. Now, here is someone who was ministering to the multitudes, comfortable among people, but he understood that the power that is needed for ministry is not in hanging out with multitude. It is staying in the presence of God. So he went for a quiet time on the top of the mountain, and he was there for many hours talking to his Father. Then after that, he came and he comes walking on water. What a miracle. Among the miracles recorded, one of the things is because of our weight and how heavy human beings are. You can't walk on water, you sink. But supernaturally, Jesus was in the body. He was not a spirit. He walks on water and he goes to his disciples. They see him. In this account, he enters the boat, immediately enters. They then arrive and the storm ceases. In other gospels, they talk about the disciples being afraid because they thought he was a ghost, because they could not believe that he could walk on water. In other accounts, it then talks of Peter saying, "Can I come?" But in this account, immediately as Jesus entered the boat found its way to its destination. Hallelujah. You see that whenever God comes into a situation, there is progress, there is direction. And when he gets in there, he says to them, "It is I. Be not afraid." Hallelujah. Whenever the presence of God is there, it casts away fear. The Bible says where his presence is, there is liberty. There is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Now from verse 22 to verse 25, the multitudes then discover that Jesus is no longer there. They saw the disciples enter into the boat and go to the other side towards Capernaum, and they start asking around, "Where is he? Where is he gone?" Now, why are they seeking Jesus? And Jesus had a revelation. He then says it in verse 26. He says, "And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." Hallelujah. So these people were not interested in Christ per se. They were not interested in worshiping God. What they wanted was bread. They wanted to satisfy their natural desires. So they were carnal. They were following after things of the flesh. So many times you could see people gathering, but people gather for different reasons. Even when people gather to go to church, don't think everyone is there to worship. Don't think everyone is there who loves God. Some have their own motives. And Jesus says, "I know you are here for bread because you ate bread and you were filled." What a shock. Verse 27 says, "Labor not for meat which perishes, but that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him has God the Father sealed." Hallelujah. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, believe on him that he has sent." So in order to work the works of God, it's faith, and it's faith in Jesus Christ. And then they say to him, "Please show us a sign." So these people want to be cunning. So you see the woman, the Samaritan woman, when she met with Jesus, she also became religious. And these ones were asking for a sign, but the sign they wanted was the sign of bread. That is what they wanted. They were looking for bread. They wanted to eat bread again. And in verse 31, they said, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, and it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Hallelujah. So they say, in the desert, our fathers received bread, manna from heaven, which the children of Israel complained about, and they called it, "What is this? What is this?" And after some days, they were saying, "We've had enough of manna." And they are saying, that is what happened with Moses. What are you able to do? They are challenging him. You remember he had already done the miracle of multiplying bread, and it seems like they didn't see it. Now they are saying, "We need to see something else. We need to see something higher." Oh, hallelujah. We need something else. You see, they were trying to put pressure on him. And in the early part, if you read other gospels, when Jesus is tempted by the devil, one of the things that the devil says is, "Turn these stones into bread." And Jesus answered by saying, "Men shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes forth from the mouth of the Lord." He had already overcome that temptation. So he says to them, "For the bread of God is which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." And then they said to him, "Give us that bread." You remember the Samaritan woman when Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God, you would have asked for water." She said, "Give me that water," because she was still thinking carnally. And these multitudes were also thinking carnally. They said, "Yes, that bread from heaven, we want it. Please give us that bread." Now listen to what Jesus says. He says, "I am the bread of life." Hallelujah. They were expecting loaves. Albani, Lobos. They were expecting natural bread, but Jesus then introduces them to the real bread. He says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Oh, hallelujah. But I say unto you that he also have seen me and believe not. So you see, Jesus then introduces them to the real bread. And here we see the second I am, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Not I will give you bread, but I am the bread of life. Yahweh, bread of life. He is the essence of life, the bread that gives life. And they could not really understand him. Verse 37 then says, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will not in wise cast away. What you are saying here is, whoever the Father has given to me, I will not cast away. You are saying those that the Father have given to me, they will believe what I'm saying. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me, who was the Father. Verse 39 says, this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that all which he has given me, I will lose none, but should raise them up at the last day. Hallelujah. And verse 40 says, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So you see there that Jesus introduces them to the bread of life, who is Jesus himself. We'll come back to that scripture. Now we then look at the last part of this chapter, which is verse 36 to verse 59. Jesus began then to go deeper in his teaching as he was teaching this multitude that had come looking for bread and for carnal things. Right. So he then says to them, they began to talk about him and murmuring amongst themselves, saying, how can he say he came from heaven? How can he say he is the bread that has come from heaven? We know his mother. We know his brothers. They could not understand that he was more than just a child of Mary. He was the Son of God. Then Jesus began to give them some strong stuff. He then says, no man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I'll raise him up on the last day. So he continues to tell them that the Father has to ignite a desire in them for them to be able to believe, and they that believe have eternal life. Verse 48, he emphasizes again, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread that cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Hallelujah. So you see, Jesus here then says, your fathers ate manna, but they died. But the bread I'm giving you, you eat, you receive eternal life. It says, and this bread is my flesh, which I give for the world to be able to live. They then began to talk among themselves to say, what kind of teaching is this? How can this man say he wants us to eat his flesh? Is he advocating for cannibalism? They could not take it. Then Jesus did not turn back. He did not come down on his words. He further emphasizes. Verse 53 says, and Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, emphasizing, truly I tell you, I say unto you, except you eat my flesh, the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in him. Hey, he is not about to say, I missed my words. I didn't say it. No, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. Now, here he's already talking about the cross. His flesh will be given up at the cross, and his blood will be shed for the salvation of men. But further to that, there is communion. Before he goes to the cross, he raises a glass of wine and says, this is my blood that is given for the remission of sins in the new covenant, and this is my body that is broken for you. So here they could not receive this teaching. The Bible says after they had heard this and they said, what kind of teaching is this? And the Bible says many of them left. They could not receive such kind of teaching. Verse 60 says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? Hey, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciple murmured at it, and he said, did I offend you? So he then goes on further to say, the words that I'm speaking to you, one of the powerful verses, verse 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth, flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. Verse 65, and he said, therefore I say unto you that no man can come to me except it is given unto him of my Father. From that time many disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto his 12, will you also go away? And verse 68, Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and assure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered, that's another part, but I want you to see that Peter had revelation. When Jesus asked, are you also living? He says, we are not going anywhere because you have the words of eternal life. We are following the words. Men shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. We believe you are the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. That's the revelation they were following. Then Jesus concluded by saying, have I not chosen you 12, but one of you is a devil. Even among the 12, one was a devil. And he spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, who was going to betray him, and was one of the 12. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Now let's look at the lessons that we draw from this wonderful chapter that we've gone through as we conclude. The key revelation is John 6:35. I've already looked at it, where Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Why did he use the term bread? In many communities, nations, and society, bread is the basic food needed for survival. When you eat something that gives you the ability to continue to live, so bread was a type of something that is needed, a basic need for survival. So he says, that which is needed for human beings to survive, I am the bread of life. That which you are looking for, the essence of life, is me, not the natural bread that you have been looking for. I am the true bread that has come, and when you have this bread, you will not hunger again. So you see that the bread, who is Jesus, satisfies a hunger that is in human beings that cannot be satisfied by anything else unless a man comes to the place of receiving Christ as his Lord or his Savior. Hallelujah. Five lessons. Number one, giving thanks attracts the miracle of multiplication. When you give thanks, in whatever that God does in your life, instead of complaining and murmuring, as the children of Israel did, that caused them not to inherit the promised land. They did not see what God had intended for them. Develop a grateful attitude, no matter how small it is. Whatever God has blessed you with, be thankful for it. And as you thank him and as you are grateful, that's where multiplication takes place, because God sees your grateful heart and begins to bless you some more. Hallelujah. Number two, in any storm, the presence of Jesus makes a difference. In this life, we'll go through storms and challenges. But what is the difference? The difference is Jesus with you or not? When you look at this world, we are all human beings. But what separates us as believers is that in this same world where we are, Jesus is with us. Whatever challenge we go through, Jesus is with us. And when Christ is in us, He has the ability that He has given even unto us to quieten the storm and to get us through challenging times and to come out on the other side with a testimony. So fear not, Christ is with you. You will come out on the other side with a testimony. Lesson number 3, seek the living bread, not material things. So the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. So don't be one who is always looking for to be materialistic. Like this multitude, it was looking for bread. It was looking for bread. It did not care for Christ. May you value Christ, because once you have Christ, the Bible says, if God gave us Jesus, His only begotten Son, in Romans chapter 8, how can He not give us all other things? Because there's nothing as valuable as Jesus Christ. If God could give us His beloved Son, what else would be so precious that He would withhold from us? So when you have the Son, you have access to everything else. Hallelujah. Lesson number 4, mature and be able to take the meat of the word. When you read the book of Hebrews, Apostle Paul says, by now you ought to be teachers, but I still need to feed you with milk because you are still babies in the Lord. You see, these that were part of the disciples of Christ, when Christ taught about you have to eat my flesh and my blood, they say this is a hard saying, and they left Him. Many people want it easy. They want the journey of Christianity just to be easy. When Jesus calls us, He says, carry your cross and deny yourself. There is sacrifice on the journey. You must be prepared for the teachings that are strong meat, and strong meat is for the mature. May you mature from milk and grow up to the place where you can take in strong meat of the word, because it is that which brings growth, it brings stability, and it brings a place where you are established and you are victorious in Jesus' mighty name. Lastly, listen to the word of God often. Jesus says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So when you are listening to the word of God, as you are doing now during this study of the book of John and exposition of the gospel of John, you are receiving the word, you are receiving life, because the words of Christ are life. So wherever you can, spend some time in the word, listen to it, read it, because as you do so, the word brings life. Men shall not live on natural bread, but every word, the rhema word of God, it brings life into you. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So your faith grows and is strengthened by hearing the word. May your faith be strengthened during this journey and season in the word of God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you for insights from your word as we see, God, the teachings of Christ. We pray, Father, that we may be grateful and thankful. We pray for revelation of Jesus Christ as the bread, the source of life that sustains us. The hunger for the true and living word, may it be in us, O God, that we may pursue the kingdom first before all other things. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
Thank you for connecting to today's teaching. Looking forward to connecting again tomorrow. For more of Rev. I.T. Matura's biblical teachings, go to innocentmatura.podbean.com.